Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day, another great week in this greatest nation on God's green earth, but not such a great beginning to the week, actually, when you think about it. There's all kinds of news reporting, both in newspapers and directly from on the scene right now, about crowds massing in Miami and in Palm Beach in Florida, crowds that may threaten violence. Big headlines about the threat of violence. Why? Because Donald Trump has been indicted, and he is enthusiastically resisting those indictments. He believes they are false, they are groundless. He believes that shows unequal justice. But does this justify people actually, including some very prominent people, actually threatening some kind of repeat or even worse of January 6th? We will get to that. We will also speak about some of the legal ramifications. Was this indictment that was fully unsealed on Friday, was that a strong indictment? Everyone agrees that it was. But is it strong enough? Or is this entire decision to prosecute President Trump a political decision, as most Americans seem to believe that it is, and one that is unjustified? We'll talk about that with one of President Trump's most eloquent and effective defenders, someone who's defended him in two different impeachment fights and in other fights, actually wrote a book called Get Trump about what he believes to be the improper means of going after President Trump. Alan Dershowitz, a longtime Harvard Law professor, distinguished attorney and legal expert author, will be talking to us about the most recent Trump indictments and what they mean. We will also be talking about third parties, because there was a devastating op-ed by, well, it's not really an op-ed, it's by one of the Wall Street Journal's most esteemed columnists, former Reagan speechwriter, Peggy Noonan. And she wrote a column saying that this may be the time. Everybody's talked about third parties this, third party that, and with growing numbers of Americans as independents. She takes a look at the numbers and she says somebody running third party could actually win. Okay, who could that be? And is that the kind of thing that will help our civic culture here in the United States? We'll talk about that with Richard Haass from the Council on Foreign Relations, who's written a terrific new book called The Bill of Obligations, The 10 Habits of Good Citizens. What does it take to be a good citizen? And then there is another huge controversy that was kicked off by two of the leading Republican presidential candidates, and we already know what the leading presidential candidate believes. They're changing the names of Army bases all across the country, changing the names that were based upon naming a basis for the U.S. Army, naming those bases after people who fought against the U.S. Army, who fought actually to destroy the United States. We're talking about Confederate heroes. What about Fort Bragg? Fort Bragg just changed its name to Fort Liberty, and now Ron DeSantis and Mike Pence have said that they would, if they became president, change it back. First of all, it's not entirely clear how they would do that. But it's also no one is saying in this dispute that has broken out that they actually had in right in the last days of the Trump presidency in January of 2021, President Trump vetoed a bill that would have changed the names of a bunch of those military installations named after Confederates, would have kept the Confederate names. And it was overwhelmingly, the veto was overridden. So that is the law of the land. So this commentary, there are people out there critical of it, saying this is not a dog whistle about racism. This is a foghorn. I'm not sure if a foghorn really is the alternative to a dog whistle, but we will get to that as well. And a new battle, not Union versus Confederacy, not Republican versus Democrat. This is conservative Republican versus conservative Republican, a war of words between Bill Barr, the former attorney general, who was a very loyal attorney general to Donald Trump right to the end of his presidency until the very, very final days, and Donald Trump himself. Who do you think called the other guy a slob and a gutless pig? We'll leave that because those names have been floating around. 1-800-955-1776 is our phone number. The indictment of President Trump, we will keep you up to date about President Trump getting off a plane, getting on a plane. He spoke over the weekend at the state conventions for the Republican Party in Georgia. He spoke in Columbus, Georgia, and he spoke in North Carolina. And both of those speeches were long. The one in Georgia was over 90 minutes long. That's not quite in Robert F. Kennedy Jr. territory, an hour and 48 minutes, but it's awfully close. And it was a speech that actually fit in with, gave you a little bit of a foretaste of a truth that was emitted by President Trump today. When you're on Truth Social, it's not a tweet, it's called a truth. So this would be our truth of the day.
Turn the page now to the internet.
I mean, wow, what a great, smart tweet.
Change his password so he no longer has access to his Twitter feed.
Did you send the tweet? I did not send that tweet. My system was hacked. I was pranked.
Donald Trump hasn't tweeted at us once, and I'm starting to get worried about him.
So we have a new tweet.
All right.
Can I do the honors?
Stand by. Tweet alert.
Okay, the tweet, which is just posted, or the truth, I should say, is, and all in capital letters, of course, it says, now that the seal is broken, in addition to closing the border and removing all of the criminal elements that have illegally invaded our country, making America energy independent, and even dominant again, and immediately ending the war between Russia and Ukraine, I will appoint a real special prosecutor, prosecutors in quotes, to go after the most corrupt president in the history of the USA, Joe Biden, the entire Biden crime family, and all others involved with the destruction of our elections, borders, and country itself. Now, I know there's some people out there who read that says, yeah, yeah, that's the way to go. Over at Mediaite, they have a very good point. The headline they use is, Trump promises to weaponize DOJ against Joe Biden family. Do we agree with this is an example of weaponizing when he says we're going to direct a prosecutor to go after Biden and family if he's reelected? Former President Donald Trump openly threatened that if he is elected to the White House once more, he'll direct a special counsel to go after Joe Biden and his family. Many of Trump's defenders have accused the Biden administration of pursuing a politically motivated prosecution of the Republican front runner in the next presidential election, saying that he is weaponizing the DOJ. Isn't President Trump talking directly about weaponizing the DOJ? Okay, with all of these conflicts going on, what can citizens do? What can good citizenship actually do to overcome these divisions and this bitterness? We'll be speaking about that coming up with Richard Haass on The Medved Show.
More of Michael Medved in a moment.
Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, MyPillow is launching the MyPillow 2.0. Back when MyPillow was invented, it had everything you could want in a pillow. Now, nearly two decades later, they've discovered a new technology that makes MyPillow even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with brand new fabric that is made with a temperature-regulating thread. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. Say goodbye to tossing and turning and flipping your pillow over in the middle of the night, and more great news on the MyPillow 2.0, buy one, get one free with promo code MEDVED. MyPillow 2.0 with its temperature regulating technology is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio podcast square to receive the MyPillow 2.0 buy one, get one free offer. Just when you thought MyPillow couldn't get any better, MyPillow 2.0 gives you the best pillow ever. Enter promo code MEDVED at MyPillow.com to get your MyPillow 2.0s today.
Why be held back by pain and difficulty and soreness and stiffness when Relief Factor is available and available so readily? You have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. It's just $19.95 for a three-week quick start, which can reduce the inflammation, it can reduce the pain, it can reduce the soreness and stiffness and make you feel better. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, michaelmedved.com, find the banner for Relief Factor. Presidents, wars, electoral landslides, Middle East conflicts, third parties, the Constitution, the founding, the revolution. That's all covered in special Medved history programs, which can be yours free. You also get the ability to hear the show anytime you want and commercial free. Medved Plus membership at our website. Go to michaelmedved.com. Look for the banner and a special offer, 20% off, limited time.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
And on the Michael Medved Show, it's an honor to welcome back to the show Richard Haass, who is the president for many years of the Council on Foreign Relations. He's somebody who has worked for four different presidents of the United States, three of them Republican presidents of the United States. He describes himself as an old school conservative. His new book, The Bill of Obligations, the subtitle is The 10 Habits of Good Citizens. And the theme of the book is very well illustrated on the cover. It shows Old Glory, the flag of the United States, having been torn apart and being stitched together. Congratulations to you, Dr. Haas, on what you were doing to try to stitch together our torn and tattered republic. In terms of this moment, would you have ever believed that, number one, that we would have a former president of the United States and a presidential candidate who would be indicted on very serious criminal charges by the federal government, and that this indictment would provoke extremely serious fears of violence breaking out in various parts of the United States? Would that have ever occurred to you, say, 10 years ago?
There's so much of what takes place now that didn't occur to me. I used to actually think of myself as someone who had a pretty good imagination, and I've come to think that actually my imagination is sorely lacking. And on like a daily basis, I am surprised by what I hear and what I see.
Okay, one of the rules, one of the obligations of citizenship that you talk about in your book, and it's a book called The Book of Obligations, it's obligation number 5 is reject violence. What does that mean, and why would that even be necessary to remind people of?
Well, first off, several of my obligations, I'm sorry, that I don't even include. I would have thought they were pretty obvious. The idea of putting country before person or party, or rejecting violence, given the one you just named. But there we are. Look, the idea that differences somehow justify the use of violence against those who disagree with you, I would argue, is antithetical to democracy. I got to tell you, Michael, I spent 3 years as the U.S. envoy, my last job when I was in government. I spent part of my time as the U.S. envoy to Northern Ireland's peace process. And I saw what violence can do to a society. We're not talking civil war, but we're talking random but regular acts of politically inspired violence. And we could have that here. We could have the odd assassination. We could have people violently disrupting some type of a public rally of a candidate. We could have state houses attack the way the Capitol was on January 6th. So it can happen here. And what we need to do is make it clear that that is unacceptable. It's illegitimate. Politicians need to denounce it. Religious authorities need to denounce it. Essentially, there ought to be no space for that, because if there's space for that, that's the end of American democracy. That's the end of our economy and our society as we've known it.
Aside from effective law enforcement and more attention to mental illness, what do we do to curb that kind of violence? I'm thinking about the attack on Paul Pelosi, on Nancy Pelosi's husband, and the fact that there were some people on the right who thought it was a fake, who thought it was a fraud, other people who made fun of it. I mean, here you have an 81-year-old guy who's smashed over the head and suffers a concussion with a hammer by someone who is clearly insane and claims to be politically motivated. When something like that doesn't produce universal horror, how do we move to put that into proper context?
It's an easier question to raise than it is to answer. Again, I'm sorry that you even have to ask that question. I would say that's a big responsibility for religious authorities. People still go to church in this country. Maybe not quite as frequently as they used to, but they still do, or synagogue or mosque. That's what sermons are there for. And to criticize that kind of violence against people, even if it's, or especially if it's politically motivated, there ought to be no space for that in this society. And people ought to be denounced. Parents ought to make clear when that story comes out. They're going to talk to their kids about it. Teachers can talk about it. You know, there's not going to be a solution to what ails us simply by a president saying this or that, or even a president modeling good behavior, as much as I like seeing that. I think it's going to take many people in the society who have positions of influence, also journalists, people who across the political spectrum, whether we're talking about MSNBC or Fox, regardless, that ought to basically be saying there's no place for this sort of thing.
One of the obligations that you write about in this book of obligations, and it's sort of laid out like the Ten Commandments, it's the Ten Habits of Good Citizens, is the habit of teaching of civics. Now, I know that there are people, again, on the right, who are worried about more teaching of civics, that that'll just be a cause for left-wing propaganda. What do we do to make sure that teaching civics isn't teaching one political perspective or another?
You're exactly right, and you have it on both sides. You have people on the left who also worry about the content of civics. Look, I think there's certain things that are just things that are relevant. To read the Constitution is not a right-wing or a left-wing position. To read the Articles of Confederation, to read the Federalist Papers, to read de Tocqueville, to read certain Supreme Court decisions, to read the inaugural speeches of the president, to read Lincoln's Gettysburg Address. These are not left-wing or right-wing. These are just important parts of American history. To know certain things historically that they happened is, again, straightforward, where there's controversy. There, I think we expose students to various interpretations. I don't think we should impose a single view or interpretation of history, but I think we should want every American to be exposed to the basic documents, to the basic facts and events, and then to expose them to various schools of thought as to how to interpret these. And then I think in classrooms that opens up all sorts of opportunities for debates and the rest. So I'm sympathetic to those who are worried about a single or narrow interpretation of history being imposed on their child, and I don't think that should happen.
My mom is a naturalized citizen. Was a naturalized citizen. All four of my grandparents were naturalized citizens. There are a lot of people who think teaching physics should mean that what we do is we make sure that people who are actually born in this country, who are fortunate enough to be Native Americans, should have at least the same knowledge that naturalized citizens are required to acquire. We will get to that question and more with the author of the very provocative and necessary book, The Bill of Obligations, The 10 Habits of Good Citizens. Richard Haass from the Council on Foreign Relations is the author. We will be right back on The Medved Show.
The Michael Medved Show, all across America.
It's an honor to talk to you because I think you got the best talk show in the United States.
Thank you. I agree.
This is The Michael Medved Show.
It's all too obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. American families are talking about a future of food shortages, banks failing, society breaking down, and what seems like the setup for the apocalypse. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are leaning into self-reliance, investing in emergency food storage now more than ever. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, has made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their best-selling 3-month emergency food kit. You get tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on 3-month emergency food kits at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare for what we all know is coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update. President Trump will see plenty of supporters around Miami tonight and tomorrow as he prepares to be arraigned on 37 felony counts. A new CBS poll finds 80% of likely Republican voters believe that a felony conviction should not disqualify someone from running for president. A pledge from Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg to help rebuild that hunk of Interstate 95 in Philadelphia that collapsed because of a massive tanker fire yesterday.
We've got this emergency relief funding, and we can fund and reimburse the activities that are going on to swiftly get that road back to normal.
There's also news that searchers have found human remains near the tanker that caught fire. A new Gallup poll finds more than two-thirds of us believe transgender athletes should only play on teams that match their gender at birth. Most say it's about competitive fairness. Rich Johnson, USA News.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Show, there is a great deal to be learned and a great many reasons for inspiration to pick up the new book, The Bill of Obligations, the subtitle, The 10 Habits of Good Citizens, written by Dr. Richard Haass, who is president of the Council on Foreign Relations for many years, somebody who has worked in government and for government. And one of the points that underlies these 10 habits of good citizens is the need to be informed. I mean, it's one of those things. I was actually talking about this with friends over the weekend. Is my son Danny, who was years ago when he was in high school, was an intern on our radio show. One year on the 4th of July, he went around interviewing, doing man-on-the-street interviews for the radio of what the 4th of July was supposed to celebrate. And people had no idea. They had all kinds of strange ideas. I mean, people thought it was supposed to celebrate the end of slavery. It was supposed to celebrate America winning World War II. People didn't know. And what do people need to do? Because this is something that is deeply challenging, to be better informed good citizens.
Well, you're good to raise it. And by the way, in 3 years, we're going to be celebrating the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence on July 4th, 2026. So one of the goals ought to be between now and then to get more people to be able to answer your question about what we celebrate on the 4th of July. Look, and it's ironic. You'd never think in this day and age with Google and the rest that we'd have a problem with information, but we do. we've got so much of it out there, but a lot of it is bogus. And one of the analogies I use is one with a doctor. If you were sick, you wouldn't just get a single opinion from a doctor. You'd get a second opinion. I'd say the same thing with information. No one ought to depend simply on one source. Everybody ought to multi-source their where they get their information from. Second of all, I'd say do not, repeat, not depend on social media. Remember the first word, social. It's not serious media. It's not factual media. It's social media. So you can go there for social reasons, but don't go there for information. Go to places instead that actually have editors, that have something of a reputation for authenticating their news, that traffic in facts. So there's lots of things that have to be done. One thing that's happening, by the way, just an experiment in the state of New Jersey, is to require in public schools that kids learn what's called information literacy. And the idea is not to teach anybody what to think, obviously, but to teach them how to be critical consumers of information. Where do you go for good information? What sort of questions should you be asking? How do you avoid bad information? How do you know a fact when you see one? So I think there's things we can do in our schools to help there. But basically any citizen ought to, you know, be very careful about where they go and always get more than one source.
Oh, speaking about more than one source, right now there's great division about the indictments that were handed down on Friday for President Trump regarding the mishandling of highly classified papers. In general, there's one point of view that says that good citizenship requires that the law be applied to everybody, no matter how powerful or on what side politically. Mm-hmm. And then on the other side, you hear people saying, look, any prosecution is discretionary, and this actually is something that is only going to push people apart even more, have even more polarization in America. Where do you come down? Is this necessarily a positive or negative impact on the United States and our desires to unify the country?
Look, it's divisive, but I still think it's necessary. I think there ought to be a high bar, though, to charge a former president. And obviously he enjoys every right of any citizen. He's innocent till proven otherwise. But I think it's, you know, the idea that no individual is above the law is an important dimension of American democracy. We gained our independence 2.5 centuries ago in part to establish that. That's one of the basic precepts of American democracy. So I think it's fair, and the president should have every opportunity to for a fair and thorough defense at a minimum.
What about this entire idea of the weaponization of our various agencies of government? It's interesting. Today, President Trump posted something on Truth Social about he would, quote, go after, and he uses the term go after, the Biden family the first thing when he's elected. Do we need to move a little bit away from this politics of personal destruction?
Yes, and there ought to be a high bar. I think what the former president did in terms of these documents, he clearly had not just one or two documents. He had a large number of documents. He was given every opportunity to return them without criminal liability. He didn't. So it seems to me this is not the weaponization of justice. The president went out of his way almost to force the hand of the Justice Department. And I got the sense that the Attorney General was not, how we put it, he was not rushing to prosecute. He understood that to go after a former president who's also a candidate is a dangerous thing in a democracy. It's divisive, as you say. But I actually think the former president brought this on himself. If he were to be elected, yeah, my guess is he might try what he calls retribution, and I think that would be really dangerous in a democracy. We should never weaponize, whether it's the IRS or the Justice Department. The powers of government lose their legitimacy if they are seen to be used as a weapon, or if they're used unfairly, if they're only used to target some and not others. There's got to be a consistency there, or we're asking for trouble.
There's a new, I think it's a tweet, actually, not a Truth Social, but it's from Marjorie Taylor Greene, member of the House of Representatives from Georgia. She says, this morning I'm writing an appropriations rider to defund Special Counsel Jack Smith's office and entire investigation. I will not vote for any appropriations bill to fund the weaponization of government. I hope every one of my Republican colleagues will join me. Quick comment?
It's her prerogative, and I both hope and expect it will fail. What Jack Smith did, I thought, was extraordinarily professional.
But in any event, it is interesting to specifically target specific projects of the Justice Department and to have Congress rather than the executive branch determining what goes forward and what does not. In terms of the Bill of Obligations, what do you think will surprise people most that you advocate as an obligation of good citizenship?
Well, it's an interesting question. What I hope they run with the most is the idea of supporting the teaching of civics or promoting government service, public service. I hope those are two ideas that catch on. What may surprise them the most, maybe the idea that I had to call for the rejection of violence or calling for civility. What surprised me the most, I'll be honest with you, Michael, was the idea that like the 10th obligation of putting country first, putting country before party or person, the idea that I even had to say that. It never occurred to me 5 or 10 years ago that I would be writing a book where I'd have to argue that we should be putting country before person or party. And here I am. And that's just, just something I never thought I would be doing.
Are you old enough to have remembered President Kennedy's inaugural address?
Yes, sir. I was all of 10 years old at the time, but I remember it, and I have read it and listened to it many times since.
Yeah, the idea of ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country, is something being about the same age that I remember very vividly. People will also remember the Bill of Obligations, the 10 Habits of Good Citizens by Richard Haass. It actually makes you feel better about America and our future. So what about the idea of a third party? We will get to that and more coming up on the Medved Show. Instability, vulnerability, uncertainty, volatility, precarious, unpredictable. Now, all of those words describe our banking system right now, as evidenced by the recent collapse of major banks. Michael Medved here for AmFed Coin and Bullion. This was the second largest bank failure in history, and the Federal Reserve has been scrambling to keep this bank run from spreading. Now, if you feel uneasy about having too much money sitting in the bank, you're not alone. Gold, silver, and platinum have had recent gains as investors look for safe places to park their money. Now more than ever, you need to call my good friends Nick Grovich and Company, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion. I've been doing business with Nick for many years, and I wouldn't go anywhere else. Nick and his team of specialists will provide you with personalized attention, honest information, and sound advice. If you're interested in buying or selling, call AmFed Coin and Bullion, 800-221-7694, 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. This is Michael Medved, and when you're young, your immune system is strong and it defends you. But as you get older, coffee, alcohol, fast food, that can make your body acidic, and every disease known to man can attack you and still win. Hospitals and doctors have nothing to unlock your immune system, but now there's Balance 7. With Balance 7, in just 3 days, it starts diluting the acid buildup in your body. I use Balance 7 every day. Try Balance 7 and get $15 off your order. Plus a free bottle of my Smooth Skin for first-time gallon orders. Free shipping and a money-back guarantee. All you need to do is mention my name, Medved. Or call 800-793-9039. That's 800-793-9039. Or visit balance7.com. Get healthy, feel better with Balance 7. Use the code word Medved.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy.
created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices. Our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now, and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
The Michael Medved show, one of the things that seems to be predictable, maybe because of what happened before after President Trump's previous indictments, but it still has to be, at least on some level, a surprise. President Trump's rating in the first poll that was a CBS poll that was done after the indictments were announced and unsealed, President Trump's rating went way higher in the polls, particularly in terms of his campaign for the Republican presidential nomination, which is highly contested, with one popular and at the moment credible rival in the person of Ron DeSantis, and then a bunch of other rivals who have 4%. I believe Mike Pence is running third with 4%. But President Trump has 61% in the new approval rating. So it looks increasingly like we're going to have a Trump-Biden race here. Now, it's much too early to tell. All kinds of things can happen. Politics is unpredictable. One of the other candidates could catch fire. It may be that with further indictments, and there could very well be at least two more sets of indictments, one in Georgia and one in Washington, D.C., that could all happen, and that could damage Trump. I believe that there is a cumulative effect where after this one about the handling of papers, if it continues and you're talking about trying to overturn the election, both in Georgia and the election in terms of the duly elected members of the Electoral College, that might mean something different. And that brings us to a very provocative column, very controversial column, by the one and only Peggy Noonan, who was, of course, a distinguished speechwriter and aide to President Reagan and is a highly respected columnist in the Wall Street Journal. And she has a new column this weekend, Don't Count a Third Party Out in 2024. And the subheading is, if Biden and Trump are the nominees, who's to say Americans won't decide on another option? And she says, here's the potential political surprise that is on my mind. And she writes, for months, people have been talking about a serious third party entering the 2024 presidential race. I believe that if the major party nominees are Joe Biden and Mr. Trump, but only if they are, a third party will certainly enter the race and put up candidates for president and vice president. And if a few crucial things break its way, they have to get on almost every state ballot and put forward a solid ticket, not a brilliant one, but solid, two accomplished people, one from each party, presumably political veterans, whom people could see, hear, and think they could do the job. They'd have an even, or better than even, chance of surprising history by winning. Now, this has never happened. And I know people say, and it's so foolish when they say it because it's historically ignorant, people say, well, what about Abe Lincoln? Wasn't he a third-party candidate? No, he wasn't. The Republicans had already established themselves a full 4 years before Lincoln ran. Actually, a full 6 years before Lincoln ran, the Republicans had already established themselves as the leading opposition party in the country. They had elected a Republican Speaker of the House 6 years before Lincoln was elected as president. So people knew the Republican Party. They put up candidates everywhere at every level. It wasn't a one-shot out of nowhere. We've had attempts like that. We had Ross Perot running in the year 1992 and then again in 1996, and he got 19% of the vote. And then the next year in 96, he got 8% of the vote. And those are very good showings for a third-party candidate, but he didn't carry a single electoral vote, not a single state, not one. He finished second in two states. He finished second in Maine and in Utah, but he didn't win. And that means under our system, you don't even come close to winning the presidency, which is what's so difficult about seeing somebody who knows the system, as Peggy Noonan does, who basically still has this fantasy about a third party. She backs it up, though. She writes, if they can do those two difficult things and avoid scandal and total incompetence, they could do it. I don't know other people who think this, but I do. The biggest political group in America isn't Democrats or Republicans, she writes. It's the unaffiliated. Gallup, which does a monthly poll on political affiliation, reports a record number of Americans say they're politically independent. In March, Gallup put the share of independents at 49%, pretty much the same as the other two parties put together. A Gallup analyst told Axios that while it's not unusual for the young to declare themselves independent more than the old, it is unusual that as Gen X and millennials get older, they seem to be staying independent and not joining a party, possibly out of aversion to a perceived stigma of partisanship. An NBC poll in April reported 70% of voters do not want Joe Biden to run for re-election, and 60% don't want President Trump to run again. It said about half of Americans, pardon me, half of Democrats don't want Mr. Biden. And an AP National Opinion Research Center poll found 44%, nearly half, of Republicans don't want Mr. Trump to be their nominee. But here's where my mind always goes. Ross Perot launched his independent presidential bid in 1992 when America was a more normal country. One that colored more within the lines and not as furious and polarized as now. Perot was a business visionary, the founder of a great company, Electronic Data Systems. He was public-spirited and blunt-talking. In June 1992, he was leading both George Bush and Bill Clinton. But his campaign was hapless and gaffe-filled, and he was unpredictable. He dropped out of the race, re-entered in the fall, said operatives had been trying to spy on him, and by the end it was pretty much out there that Ross Perot was slightly crazy. With that in mind, I can quite imagine a competent third party now getting 35% of the vote. She's saying because Perot got even 20% of the vote with all of his problems. So if you take someone who is credible and doesn't have a tint of craziness, She says, I can imagine him getting 35% of the vote to the other guy's 32% and 33% say. What would happen then? Most likely no candidate would receive a sufficient electoral college vote. The election would go to the House of Representatives, causing uncertainty that would at some point be resolved. It would be real edge-of-the-seat stuff in a nation that already has too much edge-of-the-seat stuff, but also seems to like it. But would we really like a president who was selected that way, where you have basically a three-way tie, and then he goes to the House, and in the House of Representatives under the 12th Amendment to the Constitution, each state gets one vote, that California gets the same number of votes as Wyoming, despite the fact that the state of California is what? It's more than 100 times more populous than the state of Wyoming. I'm not sure that's the correct answer. And California's about 40 million people. Wyoming's about 500,000. So it's about 80 times the population. And you'd have one vote for California, one vote for Wyoming. And the president who comes out of that process is supposed to reign, to lead the country, to unite the country. There's an answer, not specifically aimed at Peggy Noonan, but an answer on another part of the idea of a third party, where David Brooks writes in the New York Times that he has supported the idea of third parties. He supported No Labels, which is actually trying to get a ballot place for their party, the No Labels Party. And they already have 7 states. I think they're planning to get at least 29, enough so you could conceivably win. But David Brooks thinks that's deeply dangerous. Why? Well, we will get to that. We will also be speaking about some of the battle over the Civil War that is still taking place and why the Pentagon is freaking out about a potential war with China. That and more in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
For the getaway of your dreams, come to Hawaii's Playground, Ka'anapali Beach Resort, on the fun side of Maui, where the world comes to play. Find your spot on Ka'anapali Beach with 3 miles of white sand, 12 resort properties, 2 golf courses, and 2 shopping centers. Enjoy the playground of Hawaii's ancient royalty. Ka'anapali Beach Resort is Hawaii's original master plan destination resort and home of the Hawaii Food and Wine Festival. With views of 2 neighboring islands, you can breathe in the land's natural beauty from your favorite resort or golf fairway. Come experience Ka'anapali's own special brand of Hawaiian hospitality with world-class dining, relaxing resorts, water sports, and activities of every kind. For romantic, family, and great friend getaways, discover the options of Ka'anapali Beach Resort, where the world comes to play. Plan your getaway today. Visit KaanapaliResort.com. That's K-A-A-N-A-P-A-L-I Resort.com.
Did you receive a call or message that mentioned Social Security and demanded immediate action? Did the caller know your Social Security number or other personal information and tell you that your Social Security number had been used in connection with the crime? Did you feel worried that your Social Security number might be suspended, your bank account might be frozen or seized, or you could be arrested? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, demand your personal information or instant payment, email or text you pictures or documents, or use a real government official's name to gain your trust. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Do not be fooled. Hang up. Ignore them. Report this criminal activity to the Social Security Administration Office of the Inspector General at oig.ssa.gov.